Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
My Yahweh's radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahweh's radio, is now on the air. I'll be your host, by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Covenant to Exile, Biblical Scholarly Journey of the True Israel, the Israelites, of the Bible. True Israelite seed race. Remember when you talk Israel, biblically in the Bible, you got to always bring in for justification Israel, the Israelite. That's the key. Not Jew, not Hebrew. All these names that was brought in time appointed. But whatever your daddy is, that's what you be. Got it good. So we'll get something going on tape number 15. We got our elder coming on stage to do his part and thus says Yahweh take 15. So we're going to get right on to it and see which way we go. So when you meet our elder with our voice, you say, Elder Yahweh Israel, Yahweh be to their seed race.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel. Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, a seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. All right, so after you wide-eyed, bushy-tail ready to do your part, that's the grant, and that's what it's all about. But the mama's going to get at it. L, take 15. Identify the true Israelites, and whatever come along, look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we can get something going on there, L, and Luke 12, 12.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And I believe that, Elder. No doubt about it. It gets in that very same hour. And I want to look at something because, listen. Children of Israel, we in bad shape according to not understand the order of the Bible, even especially the dietary. We got to understand one thing. The only way we'll be prepared for this thing, we got to understand that we have been made different. We can't eat what the other people eat because we'll give a specific dietary law to what to put in our mouth and what not to put in our mouth. As a matter of fact, Elder, he made a statement in the book of Leviticus. He said something in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 2, Elder. He made a statement. Let's take a little bit of that first. He said, see, take care of a little bit of that because I know people, they think they can go and get all this stuff made by man's hand. They got another thing came out, you know, this fish oil stuff. I said, well, how did it say made? Well, man put his hand. No, but see, you know what? Don't worry about man's hand. You got to find out what was given to you. Don't worry about man's hand. Worry about what this man got on the table. This is what it takes for you children of Israel to be clear about your intake. So we got too many children of Israel, especially in the sixth anointed camp. We got health problems. And the field wants you to be standing tall for a time to come, but you got to make sure you're able to help others that will come in with all these problems, diabetes, sugar, all these problems in the brain. We got to be prepared to deal with it. So we got to make sure, but it starts with ourselves. But once we got ourselves right, we better help them by leading by example. So, Elder, now Yahweh told the children of Israel plainly, the children of Israel, the Israelites, if you want to eat some meat, I'll tell you what kind of meat I want the children of Israel to eat. Let's see what he says in Leviticus chapter 11, 17. In Leviticus chapter 17, let's look at, we're just going to get right to it, Elder. It's a statement that made exactly what kind of meat. I just want to read the three meats that he said he told Moses to tell the children of Israel. Three meats. It's three meats in the 17th chapter, Elder. I just want to get right to the three meats. Let's see what he says in verse number three. And we're going to stop it after we hear about the three meats. After we get down to the three meats, that's good enough. Let's see what he says in 17, verse 2. Now, let's tell you what. Read verse 1 for the national order just to make it sound good. I need to know who's talking and who he's telling it to. That's the key. Who's talking and who is he telling it to in the 17th chapter, verse 1, 2, then get down to verse 3. Stop at the three meats. Let's see what he says. 17:1. Come on, y'all.
Book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads, Leviticus 17, verse 1, Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 2, speak unto Aaron, and unto his son, and unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded, saying, verse number 3, what mansoever there be of the family of Israel, that killeth an ox, or a lamb, or a goat.
Ain't that something? That is it there. Ox, lamb, and goat. That is the three meats that Yahweh required the children of Israel to deal with. The three meats, speak unto the children of Israel. You're the one that made our bodies. So the only meat, we know the three number one meats that we supposed to consume is ox, lamb, and goat. Listen, children of Israel, if I want to get rid of you, I know I'm going to lose some of my people. I will make sure I put whatever I want to put into the chicken, hog, and the cow, because I know I'm going to lose some of my people, but I know I'm going to get you. And guess what you're sowing every day of our life? Chicken, hog, and cow. Huh? So if I want to get rid of you, I know I'm losing some of my people, is that what they say, the other nations. But I can keep majority of you visiting our cook. Because I know you love some chicken, and you love some cow, and you love some hog. Get a precept, Elvin. So now, on the chicken hog, on his chicken, and, well, now on his ox, lamb, and goat, what did he tell you to do in 17, verse 3 with that? He tell you something. Let me know. In 3:17 a.m. What did he tell you to do with that? With them three meats and 3:17 on the book of Leviticus. What did he tell you to do with them three meats? Do what?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 3:17 read. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generation throughout all your dwellings, and you eat neither fat nor blood.
Is it there? So he tell you now, when you eat these three meats, do not eat the fat off the three meats, and you don't eat the blood out of the three meats. So you got to do something. So now you got to know what to do with the three meats now. You got three meats. Now, this three meats, you got it. You got to make sure no fat on it to eat it and no blood in it to consume. You got it? Good. So what you got to do? Go to 24th chapter of Ezekiel. See what you got to do now. Now what you got to do now? Okay, we're going to see what the Bible says you got to do. Okay, now you know it's your three meats now. So now you got three meats. You don't have to involve you. Your three meats. You're all good. So now what you do with the three meats now? You brought it home and sit on the counter for the better half to get at it. Now what you do with it now? Okay, let's see. Let's go to the 24th chapter, verse 3. Now you informing the better half. Now this is what you do, better half, on the three meats I just brought in. Verse 3. We'll read till we get our point here. Let's see if we can get out of it. Ezekiel, the seer, 24, verse 3. Let's read a little bit.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 24, verse number 3 reads, Book of Leviticus, Book of Ezekiel, chapter 24, verse number 3 reads, Another parable unto the rebellious family, and say unto them, The seed of Yahweh, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Verse number 4. You have the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder. Fill it with the choicest bones. Verse number 5. Take the choice of the flock and burn also the bones under it and make it boil well. Let them seize the bones of it therein. Verse number 6. But for the same Yahweh, or to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein. Whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece. Let no light fall upon it.
Now look at that. He said, now look, you tell a better half. Listen, here's three meats here. Boil that meat well. Boil it down to the bone. Matter of fact, boil it where you don't even need a knife when I break into it. You supposed to boil that meat with a point that when time you just, that's why children of Israel got to know about the spices, how they knew how to use the spices. But they had to boil that meat well. And this is 4,000, 2,000 years ago. So you know how bad this meat is today. So you got to boil that meat well. You got to boil it where you can take a fork and stick it straight down to the bone and just touch it and just come off the bone. Boil it well. Get all that blood and scum in the pot. See all that blood and scum and the boiling, all that scum and stuff. If you don't get it out, if you go to a Doc Cook's restaurant, guess what? That stuff ain't you. Guess what? That's when you got these problems in your body. Scum, the blood, and the fat is in your system. Then you go out and buy some fish oil, some other fish oil going to help you. Now, what's going to help you is understanding what to avoid punishment. You preach up on that else. Let me fact in Ezra 7:21. See, we come on the broadcast. We're not anti-anybody. We pro 12 tribes. We try to show you how to avoid punishment in your body. But you don't have to even think about Doc Cook. You know about Doc Cook if you follow what's written in the Bible. So look what he says that we can read in 2 Ezra chapter 7:21. What
is that, Elder? The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 7, verse number 21 reads, 2 Ezra 7, verse 21, For Yahweh have given strength, commandments to such as came, what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment.
To avoid punishment. When you got arthritis, pain in your body, that's what you can avoid. Punishment. Oh, I can't raise up my old tricky knee, ain't acting right. Okay. He done told you how to avoid punishment. Oh, my, I can't move like I used to. He done told you how to avoid punishment. You got a tricky knee? Yeah? Back always out of whack? Because you stopped up. You stopped up. Start eating before your meal is the path to get your lungs and get your kidneys and get your liver together. You got to eat grapes, apples, and blueberries. And you got to chase it down with some watermelon. And chase it down with some good watermelon. That's what I have to tell you. Support this ministry. You got to get trucks. We got to go meet them out there, you know, at the cross mine and bring back some watermelon and put it in the greenhouse. We got a lot of stuff to do. Because we're going to on your feet. But, you know, you're not going to be on the feet by eating the king's meat. Now, I got to get a precept on that, Elder. Back up to the 8th chapter, talk about it again. Then, and Yahweh is again, he's zeroing in on Moses again. He's zeroing in on Moses in 8 verse 1 of Leviticus. Watch him zero in on Moses. What did he say? 8 verse 1.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 8, verse number 1 reads, Leviticus chapter 8. Verse number 1. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying.
Yeah. So Yahweh talking to Moses. So here it is. The man that made the body talking to Moses. He's doing the talking. What did he say in verse 31?
Leviticus 8, verse 31 reads. And Moses said unto Aaron, and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And there eat it. With the bread that is in the basket of consecration, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his son shall eat it.
You see that? He's in the gift. You see that bread has already been concentrated in the basket. He said, bring that out. Eat it. But the meat that you got, boil that meat. Boil that meat. Get that blood gone and fat off that meat and sit down and go at the table and eat a little something. As you know, precept in the 13th chapter here of Leviticus 13, verse 23. 13, 23. Leviticus.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse number 23 reads, Leviticus 13, verse number 23. Leviticus 13, verse 23 reads, if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean.
That's going a whole other direction. That's telling myself, man, after y'all sitting there watching, you know, highlights of this brother that scored this 4,000 points. Then they showed a picture of this brother's wife sitting in the audience. She had the Beyonce blonde hair in her head. This guy's a billionaire. His wife got blonde hair in her head. I said, well, you got a big job to do for Dr. K. She's sitting there standing and grinning, watching him go over the 4,000 point mark, and she got blonde hair, straight blonde hair on her head. Good? We got a big job to go. We got a big job ahead of us. That's why I say we want to see those that can step the plate. Well, we got to get your energy right, and your energy going to be right according to Yahweh. Huh? Your energy going right. You got Yahweh with you, your energy going to be right. You know? Huh?
And what you go through brings what's already in you out.
Okay. So what path or religion are you in your pursuit of perfection with God? What are you?
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian denomination, and one of the things that we believe is observing the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young child, you know, being brought up, I was always brought up with Sabbath observance. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, as mentioned in the Ten Commandments, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's a bombshell. That's being there too. You know, being there. You got to keep that Friday night, Saturday night. I mean, you got to keep that Friday night, Saturday night. That's just simple as that. That's just what you're going to do. Now, and another thing, in a Becker there, Elder, in a Becker, it makes a final statement. And Becker, talks about some things, and you got to be aware of some things. But I'm struggling now, you know. There's something else in the background I'm struggling about, something that we got to understand, that when you worship in Yahweh, you have to make sure something is not present there in the book of Bethel. But I'm struggling now, you know, so I'm still struggling about something that we supposed to observe, but I'm struggling right now. You know, can you have to see out on certain? If you see these certain things, you have to back away from it. You know, I was looking at something, and it'll be no problem kicking all that out of there. Them crosses, and taking that. I'm looking at that too. Don't worry. I'll help you take that stuff out of there. So it talks about that elder being in the third chapter, but I'm struggling right now. Can you have to figure out about something that you you're not supposed to be dealing with, elder? Can you take it from there, elder? Can you have to figure out somewhere in, about if you spot these things when you go on to worship, it's not good. Can you have to don't see out there? I don't want to telegraph anything, but can you have to don't see out there?
Hallelujah. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse number 19 reads, "Woe to him that said to the wood, awake. To the dumb stone arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now back up to 18 and just have it home on verse 18 there. That's excellent. Put 18 with it. Now kick up to 18 and still deal there.
Verse number 18. Back of 2, verse 18. What profit is the graven image that the maker thereof had graven it, the molded image and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols.
Do you see, I'm saying that. So if you go on to worship any place and you see any of them dumb idols, then that's a teacher of lies. See, when you go on a plate, if you go on a plate and you see anything like them crosses and all that kind of stuff up in there, that's dumb idol. That, you know, I mean, you know how pretty this look right here, this cross got baby Jesus. Take that cross and baby Jesus, and I'll help you hold on to your back and get about it. Mm-hmm. That ain't never a dumb idol. See, we got to know one thing. It might look that pretty to the world. Walking in a place that got crosses up there and baby Jesus and all that kind of stuff. But to us, that is a blasphemy and suicide to us. See, we as people of the book, we've been instructed not to deal and even be present among this kind of stuff. Remember, dumb idol. It is a teacher of lies. See, if you go off some play and you seeing some baby Jesus and crosses, statues and all that in the place, you know, that's teaching the lies. And when you preach up there in the 26th chapter of Leviticus, this is where it was pulled from. That was pulled. Matter of fact, in the 26th chapter, I want to make sure that the big man has something to say about it. See, once you find out the big man got something to say about it, that's the end of it. So in Leviticus chapter 26, Dale, I want to see it, that the big man has anything to say about it first. These people over there in Leviticus 26. See, we got to, that's why we got to get our health together for our minds to be focused right. Because when we start these things, we got to make sure we deal with it. Well, they might bite you off of the place, you know, and they got all that stuff going on. He said, well, no, you got too much teachers of lies there. I can't be part of that teachers of lies stuff. So now, 26th chapter, I got to bag up and try to find me something I need to work with. I know big man be doing a lot of talking. Look at 25 verse 1 and 2. 25, 1 and 2
of Leviticus. 25, verse 1 and 2. What's the hell? The
book of Leviticus, chapter
25, verse 1 and verse number 2 reads, book of Leviticus 25, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, verse number 2, speak unto the family of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, you shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yahweh.
You see it? So you tell the children of Israel, you got to keep that Sabbath day. You know, you got to keep that. And then when you get there, it's 26 now, 1 down to verse 3 and 9. Let's see what it says in 26. Now, you know Yahweh is doing the talking. What he said in 26, 1, 2, and 3, and 9. What do you say there, yo? 26, 1, 2, 3, and 9.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3, and verse number 9 reads. The book of Leviticus, 26, verse number 1 reads, you shall make you no idols, no graven image, neither will you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse number 2. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my temple. I am Yahweh. Verse number 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Verse number 9 reads. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you.
Hey, that's something. You hear the man say? He said, look here. Now, if you got all this going for yourself, look what the man said he'll do. He said, I will have respect unto you. See, when you're keeping the Sabbath day, when you're keeping these feast days, when you're bumping shoulders in the sixth anointed camp, y'all are telling you plain. If you go in this place and you see statues, crosses, move off, listen, No. Yahweh told us not to be involved in going to a place like brothers go to a place, got the 5-pointed star over the door. What are you doing that for? That's paganism. That's idols too. David ain't never had no star. David had a big belly for the word of Yahweh that he got from Gad to see him. So he didn't know anything going on. So if you walk in the place and you got a cross over there and 5-pointed star, listen. No, not the children of Israel, the Israelites. That, Yahweh, you won't have no verse 9 over your head. You won't have verse 9, and you want to have verse 9 over your head. Read verse 9 again. What he say? Now, if you go to these places and you don't deal with it, and they ain't got it there, what Yahweh say, he got for you in verse 9 there.
Book of Leviticus 26, verse number 9 reads, I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful, multiply you, and establish my covenant with you.
So he's gonna establish a covenant with you if you're not participating in with him. And he tell you in the book of Joel 2:7, he makes it plain. I don't care how good the briefcase, it puts the briefcase in. What did the last two lines tell you in Joel 2:7? What it tells, what the Hosea says in the last two lines there, 2:7. What he said? What he say?
The book of Joel 2:7 reads, and they shall not break their ranks.
And you don't break your rank. Once you understand the order of Yahuwah, and you want Yahuwah to have respect for you, don't break rank. Don't break rank. The way I got it written, that's what you do. Got it? Good. Now, let's lean back up to now. We're going to get another full course. Let's go to the Leviticus. Let's get a full course meal in 11:5. Let's get a full course meal. Well, baby, I want to make you a full course meal. I really want to make you a good meal, and maybe that might warm you up a little bit. Oh, you want to make me a full course meal? You ain't got to warm me up? All right. What is a full course meal? Okay, well, let's see what it says in 11:5. Or the book of Numbers, a full course meal. Baby, I feel like really making you a full course meal because I'm in the mood. And I want to get you in the mood. So I'll make you a full course meal. Okay, good. Make me a full course meal. 11:5, what it say? Of Numbers.
Book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 5 reads. Numbers 11, verse 5. Remember the fish, which we did eat in Mizraim, Egypt, freely, the cucumber and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic.
There you go right there. There you go, your full course meal. Now you made me a full course meal like that? Oh, yeah, I put a sign on the door saying, do not disturb, written out and move some furniture around, but you done the right thing. If you're doing Bible, you're doing the right thing. There you go, your full course meal right there. Full course meal. 1 Kings 4:22-23. And something else you have, and something else you have with your full course meal. You hear? Something else you have with your full course meal. You guys better read it in 1 Kings 4:22-23. You got full course meal, right? Good. Good. Let's see what it says we can read in 1 Kings 4:22-23. What's that help?
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 4, verse 22 and verse 23 reads, book of 1 Kings 4, verse 22, and Solomon provisioned for one day with 30 measures of fine flour and 60 measures of meal. Verse 23, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pasture, and 100 sheep, besides harts and robots, and fallow deer, and fatted fowl.
Hey, that sucker. See, the man told you everything you need to know about a great eating. Read that again there, Elvis. I've got half that already. You mean I got all these choices right here? And I went all my life, and I don't know nothing about none of this? 1 Kings 4:22-23. What's that, Elvis?
Book of 1 Kings 4:22-23 reads, and Solomon provisioned for one day with 30 measures of fine flour and 60 measures of meal. Verse 23, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pasture, and 100 sheep, besides harts, robots, and fallow deer, and fatted fowl.
Now we can understand this verse 8 and 9. Now we can really understand this verse right here. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. We can really understand this verse right here. What does it say?
The book of 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 8 and verse number 9 reads, 1 Kings 10, verse number 8, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, stand continually before thee, and they hear your wisdom. Verse number 9, thus be Yahweh, which divideth in you, to set you on the throne of Israel, because Yahweh loveth Israel forever. Therefore may he you clean to do judgment and justice.
So Yahweh loveth Israel forever. This got to make you happy. Look at the good eating that we're doing. See, this is good eating now. Look, you got a great big old feast coming up right now. Here go your good eating. Huh? Hey, now here go your good eating. Here's all the good stuff to eat. Good stuff to eat. Plenty of it. I mean, right back and get in it. 2 Kings 4:2 verse 44. Because remember, the feast days on it with my back, even you know, Purim is on his way in on the 13th and the 14th of this month right here. Then Passover coming up. So now we got to be clear about, you know, eat them up, drink them up. We got to know how to eat them up and drink them up. You see how happy they were? Went sit down at Solomon's table. You know, he understood what to put in there. You didn't see nobody no chicken, hog, or cow, did you? No chicken, no hog, and no cow. No, no. If I want to get you right now, I might lose some of my own, nation say. All I do is make sure I just spice up your chicken, hog, and cow, because we know you're going to get plenty of it, right? And then you want to know why you always duck at Doc Cook. You okay with Doc Cook. Put the chicken, hog, and cow down. Detox your body. Get that garbage out of your body. And guess what happens? You start kicking. You start getting a good kick to yourself. Look what else we've been working with, El. 2 Kings, chapter 4:2-44. Let's do it.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 4:42-44 reads. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse number 42-44. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse number 42 reads. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. There came a man from Baal-shalishah, and brought the man of Yahweh bread of the first fruit, 20 loaves of barley, and 4 ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people, that they may eat. Verse 43. And his servitors said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith Yahweh, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. Verse 44. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of Yahweh.
Do that? Do that? Boy, before ear corn, be right. Before ear corn. Huh? What kind of corn? Was it canned corn? No, not canned corn. What kind of corn was it in 25, verse 19, Bill? Well, as a matter of fact, give me Exodus 17:16. What kind of corn was they was working with there, Bill? That for the national audience on the international side, no. And Exodus 17:16, what kind of corn?
Book of Exodus 17, verse 16 reads. Exodus 17, verse 16.
Well, hold on, yo. I'm all over the place. Let me let that alone. I'm all over the place right now. Cause can you pull on see what kind of corn that they supposed to be eating at? Yo, I'm all over the place right now. I don't know where I get that verse from. That verse didn't come. That verse just came from, it came from my left hook. So what kind of corn, can you have to sell, what kind of corn that we supposed to make sure it's in everyone our meal? So right there, that's what we breathe now. they're going to take us to another way, and I won't stay on this for another minute. And I'm going to get off this one. And I see Mother D up Israel said, I'm ready to holler that microphone now. I'm feeling real good. I want to holler something, too. Hallelujah. So, yeah, can you help those see what kind of corn that the children of Israel supposed to eat? Help those see out, see on the clock come up.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 25 reads, thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor.
What kind of corn, Elder? Elder, what kind of corn again?
Standing corn.
Standing corn. So you listen, baby. You cooking in there, make sure you got whatever you got, make sure you got my corn. You got to have my corn. You got to be. You know why you got to have my corn? Psalms 78, verse 25. Let me show you why you got to have the corn. I mean, every meal, you got to have your corn. It's the reason why you got to have the corn. Psalms 78, verse 25. Standing corn. Why, yo? 78, 25.
The book of Psalm, chapter 78. Verse number 25 reads, chapter 78, book of Psalms, 78, verse 25. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the fool.
And they ate to the fool. They had angels' food. What is angels' food? What is angels' food that we can read? Verse 24. What's angels' food that they owe?
The book of Psalm 78, verse 24. And he rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven.
Ain't that something? You see, the corn is a blood purifier. It'll boost your immune system. It'll ward off diseases. And somebody else sick, you got blood clots. You got a big data full of corn in. Guess what? Strengthening your immune system. The corn, the standing corn, was rained down from heaven. It is the same food right now the angels in heaven eat. They eat corn. And they live forever. The corn is supposed to have it every meal you have. Somebody might be sick from it. It'll ward off any diseases in your body. Big belly full of standing corn in your gut. Then you go eat this other stuff you want. Remember, green food and corn, you be skinning. What you skinning and grinning for all? Because I got green food and corn in me. Green food and corn in it have you skinning and grinning. We can get further than that, but we ain't. So she's going to bring our mother in, Mother D of Israel. One more got a camera one. And we're going to see if she's going to hide the microphone a little bit. And it'll help me that First Maccabees chapter 2, verse 42 out of verse 44, and 51 out of verse 68. We're going to lay a little foundation after we commune with Mother D of Israel. Let's see if we meet and greet Mother D of Israel by saying, one of the mothers out of camp one. Hey, Mother D of Israel. Yahwa BJFC Ray.
Yahwa bless you, Seer Israel of Seroy. Hallelujah.
Yeah, Mother D of Israel. Well, Mother D of Israel, well you know, we got to be prepared because we got a big job ahead of us. And we got to be standing tall at a time of point. So what we're doing right now, according to Romans 15, verse 4. Can you help the national audience out what we're doing right now on tape 15, according to Romans 15, verse 4? What are we doing right now, Mo? Yeah, make it 15, verse 4, and try to get in that microphone, Mo, and let the national audience hear you real good. What are we doing right now, according to 15, verse 4?
Okay. I don't know what's going on with my body, but it won't go away.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to
your Bible just like friends. You're supposed to have them so close by you. Even when you read later on, your Bible and friends are supposed to be so close to you. That's the blessing of God.
My volume on the phone.
All right. Give me some 15 verse 4 there, Mother G up Israel. What is that we can read in Romans 15 verse 4?
Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Mm-hmm. Everything written a full time is for our learning. It's not done away with. If you want to get your body back right, you want to not be busy and dark cook, everything written for your learning. And you got to have hope on that. You got to believe this thing. You got to believe it. You get a precept on that, Mother. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, 11, the precept. See, we got to believe everything written. Yahweh laid out for the children of Israel, the Israelites. Look, if you do this, you keep me before everybody, guess how you're going to be. You're going to live a long, good life, and we'll take care of that a little bit later. Give me a precept, Mother. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11.
10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come.
Mm-hmm. This is for our admonition. You know, you go to the gun range and say, look here, I want to shoot them charges over there, but I ain't got no ammunition. Why are you going to shoot at something? Give me some ammunition then. See, the ammunition, you know, this is for your ammunition. This is for whatever come up. You make a Bible decision, and you're going to be all right. And if you keep on making the Bible decision, watch what's going to happen if you keep making a Bible decision. First Maccabees 2, let's see what happens if you keep making a Bible decision. What's going to happen? First Maccabees 2, 42 to 44, 51 down to verse 68. And Mother D of Israel, help me, First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 down to verse 25, waiting on me. Now, help. If we continue to do Bible, let's see what's going to happen that we can read. First Maccabees 2, 42 down to verse 44, and 51 to 68. Come on, yo.
Book of First Maccabees chapter 2, verse number 42 through 44, verse 51 through 58 reads. Book of First Maccabees chapter 2, verse number 42 reads. They came there unto him, a company of Assyrians, who were mighty men of Israel, even all such as were voluntarily devoted unto the law. Verse 43. And all they that fled for persecution joined themselves unto them, and were a state unto them. Verse number 44. So they joined their forces, and smote sinful men in their anger, and wicked men in their wrath. But the rest fled to the heathen for security. Verse number 51. The book of 1 Maccabees 2, verse 51. Call to remembrance what acts our fathers did in their time. So shall you receive great honor and an everlasting name. Verse 52. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation? It was imputed unto him for righteousness. Verse 53. Joseph in the time of his distress kept the commandments and was made Yahweh of Egypt. Verse 54. Phinehas, our father, being zealous and fervent, obtained the covenant of everlasting priesthood. Verse 55. Hoshea, for fulfilling the word, was made a judge in Israel. Verse 56. Caleb, for bearing witness before the congregation, receive the heritage of the land. Verse 57. David, for being merciful, possessed the throne of an everlasting kingdom. Verse 58.
Isaiah for being zealous and fervent for the law was taken up into the heavens.
Yeah, I don't hear your microphone there. That's supposed to go.
It was verse 58.
Take it down to 68.
Verse 58.
Take it down to 68.
All right. Okay. Verse number 59. And Ananias, Azariah, and Michael, but being even, were saved out of the flame. Verse 60. Daniel, for his innocence, was delivered from the mouth of the lion. Verse 61. And thus considered throughout all ages, none that put their trust in shall be overcome. Number two, but then the words of a sinful man with his honor shall be done and word. Verse 63, the day shall be lifted up, and tomorrow he shall not be found, because he is returned into his dust, and his thoughts has come to nothing. Verse 54, before you, my son, be valiant, and show yourself men in the behalf of the Torah instruction, law, for by it shall you obtain honor. Verse 65, behold, I know that your brother Simeon, the man of counsel, give you unto him always. He shall be a father unto you. Verse 66, as for Judas Maccabeus, he hath been mighty and strong, even from his youth up. Let him be your captain, and fight the battle of the people. Take also unto you all those that observe the law and avenge you the wrong of your people. Verse 68, recompense fully the nation and take heed to the commandments of the law.
Thank God, brother. Now you see, this is what we're trying to make you understand. I don't care how much you profit in this world, it's going to come to nothing unless you keep the law statutes. And the commandments. See, I got my $10, and I'm doing great right now. But listen, it's going to come to nothing. Verse 53 and 67 again, else.
The book of 1 Maccabees 2, verse number 53. Joseph, in the time of his distress, kept the commandments and was made Yahweh of Egypt. Verse number 67. Take also unto you all those that observe the law and avenge you the wrong of your people.
Mm-hmm. So you see, I'm saying one thing. Doing Yahweh's business, you must make a calling according to the law, statutes, and the commandments. And the ones that hear the law, statutes, and commandments is going to hear, but matter of fact, he made it plain, and 1027 what he said at his own mouth in 1027 of the book called St. John. He said something in 1027, Elder. He looked the father's eyeball to eyeball and said something to him in 1027 of St. John. What did he say?
Book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 27 reads, St. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
You hear that? So you see that? So you see, you made it plain. Listen, when you make a call and make sure the Bible supports your what comes out the mouth, if the Bible supports, you got to stand on it. That's simple as that. Now, who's going to take the lead on all that, according to Rock 10:1? Who's going to take the lead on all that, Elder? And 10 verse 1 of Sirach. Let's see if we'll take the lead on all this good talk we just heard. Sirach, chapter 10, verse 1.
The book of Sirach, chapter 10, verse number 1 reads, a wise judge would instruct his people, and the government of a prudent man is well ordered.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read that, interpret it. A wise seer will instruct his people. A wise seer's job is to instruct his people as they're doing right now. Judge, we talking about in this case, is a wise seer. Now, we don't get a precept on that and in this time they're going to knock it out the park with that understanding. We're going to the 37th chapter, verse 23, now to verse 26. A wise seer will instruct his people. So we're going to precept there, and they're going to use another name instead of the judge. But we're going to look past that name and put the correct words there in 37, verse 23, now to verse 26. Precept the elder, come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse 23. A wise seer instruct his people, and the fruit of his understanding shall it not. Verse 24. A wise man shall be filled with blessings, and all they that see him shall count him happy.
25.
The days of the life of a man may be numbered, but the days of Israel are innumerable. Verse 26. A wise seer shall inherit honor among his people, and his name shall be perpetual.
A wise seer's job is to instruct his people and show you what the Bible is saying. It's up to you. He don't get no pass on the back. You know? His job is to say what the Bible is saying and call it a day. That's the way he's on the road. Now, let's beat that little bit, Elder, just a little bit more. Before Mother get that 1 Corinthians 12, 25, let's beat that a little bit. Let's find out something about it. Let's beat that a little bit. Let's see the responsibility of a seer. Let's find out something that we need to know about a seer. 1 Kings chapter 19, 15, and 16. Let's see the responsibility of a seer. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to bring the big man in place. Let's see what the big man says from heaven to the wise seer. 1 Kings 19, 15, and 16 says what?
Book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 and verse 16 reads. 1 Kings 19. Verse number 15 reads. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. What said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Verse 16. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mahalah, shall thou anoint to be seer in your room.
So you see, now once he heard that, he knew, so he knew something behind that. Now, he said, not only that, you're going to anoint Elisha to take your place. So he already knew what that means, what that meant. Now, that's big talk of death. He said, now, you go over there and anoint the dignitary. And by the way, Elisha, you anoint him in your room. He knew something. He knew something. He knew something. But back up to 10, 1 Samuel 10, 1 and 6. See, he knew something. 1 Samuel 10, 1 and 6, Taylor. 1 Samuel 10, 1 and 6.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse number 1 and verse number 6 reads. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse number 1 reads. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, It is because Jehovah anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. Verse number 6. The Spirit of Yahweh will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man.
Yeah, but I'm still looking at this verse, this 19:16. So Samuel knew something. He knew something. He's going to tell you what he knows in a minute. But what was Samuel working with in 9:27? What was he working with, Elder? 1 Samuel 9:27. What were those seers working with in 9:27?
Because 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 27 reads,
Samuel chapter 9, verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Here's the servant pass on before us." He passed on. But stand you still a while, that I may show you the word of Yahweh.
Well, so Samuel, he knew he was doing his thing, and but all of a sudden, well, Samuel was doing his thing. He was showing the word of Yahweh, but Elijah, he you know, he let the people weigh him down. See, what I'm trying to tell you, don't let the people weigh you down. No, I always make a bow decision. I don't care. You know, don't let nobody be your kryptonite. Always make a bow decision. So we see Samuel was doing his thing, and we found out Elijah was told to go and take care of the seer's business with anointing all the big dignitaries. But then, by the way, go ahead and anoint Elisha to take your place. So what will happen here? What will happen? You know what will happen? Let me read what happened. Let me show you what really happened. Back up, Elo, to what really happened. What happened? What did Yahweh tell him to go and take care of his business and then anoint a seer to take your place? What really happened? What really happened that brought this on? Let's see what we can see. What did he do? I tell you what, think of verse 1 down 19. We're not going to make a meal out of it. I just want to get an idea. What happened while he told Elijah, you're going on and anoint all them big dignitaries, then what I want you to do is anoint another seer to take your place. Oh, I need to find what happened. Go to 19 chapter verse 1. Let's see what happened in 19 verse 1.
The book of 1 Kings.
1 Kings 19. We're not going to read. Just kind of get an idea. Why did he tell him that? Remember, Yahweh's business is the children of Israel. Now, all of the shepherds and the preachers and the bishops, all of them was up under somebody over here. And something happened that we need to read in 19:1 down to verse 4. Because I really want to know, why did he tell him, when you get to anointing everybody, then go anoint Elisha over there to take your place? I need to know why. Let's see what it says in 1 down to verse 4. 19:1, 2, 3, 4. What's that?
The book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 1 through 4 reads, the book of 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And withal, I had slain all the false shepherds with the sword. Verse number 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the false shepherds do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by the morrow about this time. Verse number 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Yahweh Judah, and left his servant there. Verse number 4. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came and sat down under a Jupiter tree. He requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Yahweh, take away my life, for I am not better than my father.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You hear what happened here? Jezebel told Ahaz to tell Elijah, yeah, you got rid of all my pastors and You really whooped them real good. You beat the brains in real good. But guess what? With all my might, I'm going to beat your brains out. The seer broke out of him. He told Yahweh, it's enough. A woman made him say, it's enough. A woman did that. It's enough to kill me outright. Ain't that stuff? So you see, you got to watch these things. Now, let's see what he did. I need a little bit more of this. What happened in verse number 11? So now he's sitting up on his, he was sitting up on his tree, jacking his slack. And what happened in verse 11 and 12? You know, verse 11 and 12.
Book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse number 11 and verse number 12 reads. 1 Kings chapter 19, 11. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yahweh. Behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break it in pieces. The rock before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. After the earthquake, a fire. Well, Yahweh was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice.
And the still small voice said what in verse 16? You know, what did the small still voice, after he showed his power, ripping up mountains, knocking down trees, hitting mountains in the belly, putting a dent in them, cracking everything up. And a small still voice said what in verse 16?
The book of 1 Kings 19, verse 16. Jehu the son of Nishi shall thou anoint to be king of Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Ebel Mahalah shall thou anoint to be seer in your room.
You see that? That's why Yahweh said, go anoint another seer in your place. Because you can let temptation get in the way of what I the power that I put in your hand. So you know, he said, that was enough. He said, I'm burnt out. That's enough. So you got to watch that. Listen, stand on the word of Yahweh all the way to death. But what's the word say at the end, though? What's the word say? So he knew that it was over with. Because 1 Samuel 7:15. So he knew if somebody was to take his place, he already knew what he got coming according to 1 Samuel 7:15. So he knew. He knew what he had coming. 1 Samuel 7:15, what's there?
1 Samuel 7:15 reads, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life.
The seer judges Israel all the days of his life. All the days of his life, the seer judges Israel. The Israelites. That's who judges Israel all the days of his life. That's the job of a seer. His job is for the betterment of the whole 12 tribes of Israel. And we're going to read about that shortly. But the seer's job is to make sure he look at the broader picture. Because his job is to judge the whole 12 tribes of Israel all his life. But all of a sudden, if you get shaken in the knees, then Yahweh said, a replacement is coming for you. That means he must get ready to kill you. So you see that? And when you know Yahweh get ready to kill you, because he ain't going to put a feckle on with you. Who have one. The judge both sides of Israel, north and south. That's his responsibility. We'll read that a little bit later. But we see now he had to take care of the business, then go find Elisha and anoint him, because that was in him. See, one thing about it, see, right? Down the word of Yahweh, all the way to death. See, because that's your responsibility. No, you don't have nobody. No, it won't be no sack and seal. One unto death. That's how the book says it. All of that, mother. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, mother. And now we're going to look at 12 out of verse 25 there, mother dear of Israel. We'll take a look at something in Elder, help me, 1 Kings 3, verse 11 to 14, waiting on the end 28, and come down to 2 Chronicles 15, 1, 2, 3, 9 to 15. Head in the wings from me, Elder. I'm on the day of Israel. What it says that we can read a lot of audio now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Paul found northern Canaan, long Jews over there too. And he had to look them out eyeball to eyeball. He said something to them in verse 12 down to verse 25. Hey, mother dear of Israel, what did he say? We can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 down to verse 25. What did he say? Come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 25. Verse 12 reads, for as the body is one and has many members, then all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Yahweh the Son. 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized unto one body, whether we be Judah or Gentile, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made into one spirit. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? 18. But now has Yahweh set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the hand, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. 22. Nay, but more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. 23. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundance honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundance comeliness. 24. For our comely parts have no need, but Yahweh has tempted the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which like. Verse 25. that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
I'll read verse 23 again, Mo.
What does 23
say?
And these members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundance honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundance comeliness.
So he's saying even the less seen, everybody got a part, everybody got a role to play. Everybody got a role to play in Yahuwah. You got to say your lot and everybody's lot. I don't care if you feeble or whatever. Any problem you have, listen. Yahuwah saying you got a part in the body. Everything got to work according to the body. And once everything functioning, then Yahuwah kicks in. Mother, what do it say in 21 verse 9, Mother, what does it say in 21 verse 9?
First Chronicles 21 verse 9. Chapter 21 verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
First Chronicles, chapter 21, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Read. And Yahuwah spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying.
Mm-hmm. And Yahuwah spake to Gad, King David, he's King David. But King David had a seer is over him. Because Yahuwah can speak to the seer. And the seer's job is to get it back to the leadership. Read that again a little more audio, Mother.
First Chronicles, chapter 21, verse 9. And Yahuwah spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying.
Mm-hmm. And we want more information on that. Where do we go in 1 Chronicles 29:29? What do we go and get more information? If we want to really dig into it real good, what can we go and get more information? 1 Chronicles 29:29, what do you say that, Mother?
First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29. First Chronicles 29:29 reads, "Now the acts of David, the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel, the seer, and in the book, the seer, and in the book of Gad, the seer."
Yeah. So why them seers took notes? They took notes of everything. He said, "You want to know more information? You got all three of those seers in different walks of time. They was taking notes on all that good stuff." Okay. I need to get one more out of that. 2 Samuel 15:27. What do you say there, Mother? 15:27. 2 Samuel 15:27. So the seer's job is to always take notes. And guess what? And guess what I do next? If I'm not teaching, if I'm listening, I'm always taking notes. Now then, I'm in a note a whole lot. Soon as I'm asking, hey, Elder, Jesus, hey, what was that verse again? I write it down. I take a lot of notes. Why? Because I know one thing. It's a record to everything. And I watch the record unfold itself.
2 Samuel 15:27.
What do you say there, Mother? 2 Samuel 15:27.
Yeah, 15:27. 1 Samuel 15:27. The king said also unto Zeke, the seer, Art not thou a seer? Return unto the city in peace, and your two sons with you. Hey, thou son and Jonathan, the son of Abel, somebody.
Well, spell that word, he said, I'll die a what? Spell that word. Spell that word there, Mo. I'll die a what? Spell that word.
I don't understand what words you said spell.
Spell that word. You see what you read? Where he said, I'll not die a what? A what? Spell that word.
I see it.
Yeah, spell it according to what's written.
S-E-E-R.
Oh, okay. So it's right there. So we clear that those of the children of Israel, they knew whenever they was in trouble, they had to go find the seer. And the seer had his sons or whatever there to do the leg work or whatever. Give me a precept on that, Mother. Give me 4:46 of 1 Maccabees. I need a precept. 4:46. Give me a precept on that. 1 Maccabees 4:46. See, what's going on today in the five, the order is not properly in order. We all over the place right now. Because we don't know the order of the Bible. When Yahweh intervened, they knew that when they run into a problem in the Bible, they knew they had to go find a seer. Or go find a seer son, because they knew one thing, they was well instructed by their father. So they knew what to do. Hey, where's the seer at? And them sons said, well, look here. Then what happened, the seer would give his son the information to go take care of his business. See, we don't understand that's the order of things in the Bible. So Yahweh don't change according to Malachi 3, verse 6. He don't change his order. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, he don't change his order. If you don't know what Yahweh is doing today, you look back at yesterday and you line up with the Bible, guess what? You're going to come up out of this thing. Huh? You ain't got to worry about God cook. You ain't got to worry about the powers to be, because Yahweh will intervene when he recognizes you doing what's written in the Bible. So now, in 1 Maccabees 4:46, can you help the national audience out on what it's saying?
Did you say 4:46?
Yeah, 4:46. 1 Maccabees 4:46. 1 Maccabees 4:46. What does it say?
1 Maccabees 4:46. And lay up the stone in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place until there should come a seer to show what should be done with them.
You see that? See, the children of Israel, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, they understood that. We can tap a whole lot of stuff. But we're not going to make a decision unto the sea again. That's when they promised. They knew we went out there and won the war. We beat the nations down and bust them up real good. So now we got this thing knocked down, flat, and quiet. But that's the force we got to go until we recognize there's always a sin fear in every generation. You have to make sure you're running through the fear, and this job is to show you what the Bible says you're supposed to do. And that's the game changer then, and that's the game changer now. The fear's responsibility is to show you what the Bible says. And we clear even through cliche. Watch this cliche right here. An empty wagon or barrel makes the most noise. An empty wagon or a barrel makes the most noise. You see that? You take a little kid with a wagon, and he ain't got nothing in that wagon, and he pull that wagon, he wake up everybody in the neighborhood. Man, put something in that wagon, because that wagon, take a barrel and just roll it down. That barrel be bumping up, making all that noise, because there ain't nothing in it. Remember, an empty wagon makes the most noise. Never forget that. Never going to have a scripture, but going to have the mouth going. An empty wagon going to make the most noise. Never forget that. 69 and count. Now, good enough. Now, you go on 1 Kings chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 11 down to verse 14 and 28. Then go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 1, 2, 3, and 9 through 15. Ella, you on the clock. Come on.
One more time.
1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 11 down to verse 14 and 28. Then slide down to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15, 1, 2, and 3, 9 through 15. Listen to this right here. What the hell is your better deliver? Come on.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse number 11 through 14 and verse 28 reads. Kings, chapter 3, verse number 11 reads. Yahweh said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself, no knife, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the light of thine enemy, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Verse number 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words, lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding mind, so that there was none like thee. Before thee, neither after thee, shall any arise like unto thee. Verse number 13. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches, honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Verse number 28. All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of Yahweh was in him to do judgment.
Second Chronicles, chapter 15, 1 down to verse 3, 9 through 15, Elder, continue.
The book of Second Chronicles, chapter 15, verse number 1 through 3, verse 9 through 15 reads. Second Chronicles 15, verse number 1 reads. Book of 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 reads, and the Spirit of Yahweh came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. Verse number 2. He went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Yahweh is with you, while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Verse number 3. And for a long season, Israel had been without the true Yahweh and without a teaching priest and without the Torah instruction, the law. Verse number 9. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Verse number 9 reads, he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that Yahweh was with him. Verse number 10, and they offered unto Yahweh the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. Verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek Yahweh their father with all their mind, with all their soul. Verse 13, and whosoever should not seek Yahweh of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Verse 14, they swear to Yahweh with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, with cornets. Verse 15, and all Yahweh of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their mind, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and Yahweh gave them rest round about.
Yeah. See, when you enter with Yahweh, he'll give you rest. And your rest starts in the brain. See, you got to understand, your rest starts in the brain. Because in 2 Kings 6 there, you know, in 2 Kings 6, see, certain things have to be understood in 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, you know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, you know, 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's see what's going on in verse 15, but what's really going on in 16 and 17. What's going on we can read in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15, 16, 17. Let's see what's going on we can read. 2 Kings 6, 15 down to verse 17. What's going on here?
The book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15 through 17 reads, book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15 reads, 2 Kings 6, verse number 15, and when the sons of the man of Yahweh was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Verse number 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with thee. Verse 17. And Elisha the seer prayed and said unto Yahweh, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha the seer.
Ain't that something? So you see, Yahweh has protection over his seer. You got to make sure he's doing one thing. Don't let, you know, threats, big digging terrorists tell you to do something contrary to this Bible. You can't put no suitcase in front of the seer and open it up and I start speaking tongues because I speak your mind. You can't make the seer join to any organization. I ain't talking about no good for his job. Well, it ain't going to happen. Huh? I know what to do because I can read this book. I know the position of a seer is to lead. But what kind of way? As it is written. First, give me Sirach chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 there, yo. I need to kind of badge that up with something that's written in this Bible. Sirach chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. What's written in this Bible in Sirach chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, yo?
The book of Sirach chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7 reads, Sirach chapter 4, 7, 6 and verse 7 reads, Sirach 4, verse 6, for if he cursed thee in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him. Verse number 7. Get thyself the love of the congregation and bow thy head to a great man.
Read that verse 6 and 7 again.
The book of Sirach, chapter 4, verse number 6, and verse 7 reads. So Sirach 4, verse 6 reads, for if he curse thee in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him. Verse number 7, if thou set the love of the congregation and bow thy head to a great man.
That's big talk right there. That's big talk. So, I mean, that's big talk right there. That's a lot of big talk. Now, I gotta bag that up here. We'll see what's going on in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 16, 17. They won't skip down to verse 23, down to verse 25. I gotta bag it up. You know, they have something called, you gotta bag it up. I gotta bag it up or something. I gotta get some more on that. What do we say in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, 17, 23, down to verse 25? What does it say in
Numbers? Book of Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, verse 17, verse 23, and verse 25 reads. Book of Numbers 11, verse number 16 reads. Yahweh said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. Verse 17, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, but thou bear it not thyself alone. Verse 23, Yahweh said unto Moses, Yahweh's hands were short. To see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of Yahweh, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, set them round about the tabernacle. Verse 25. Yahweh went down in a car and spake unto him, and took up the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. They came to pass, and when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease.
Yeah. So that they go on again. So with that understanding, Elder, and First King, with that understanding, now Solomon was the wisest man in the world. So by him looking back at that Numbers, chapter 11, verse 16, 17, 23, down verse 25, then he had no problem of making a calling in 1 Kings 5. So Solomon was on the clock by having the record. That's why he got to always search the record. And 1 Kings 5, verse 4, 5, and 16, let's search the record there. Hey, over the future record there in 1 Kings 5, 4, 5, and 16. What do you say?
Book of 1 Kings 5. Verse number 4, verse 5, and verse number 16 reads. The book of 1 Kings 5, verse number 4 reads. And now, Yahweh my Yahweh have given me rest on every side, so there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. Verse number 5. Behold, I purpose to build a temple unto the name of Yahweh my Yahweh. And Yahweh spake unto David my father, saying, your son whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a temple unto my name. Verse number 16. By the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought in the work.
Read verse 16 again. Read 16 again.
The book of 1 Kings 5, verse 16. Besides the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought in the work.
Oh, so you see what Solomon had to do? Solomon had to do the same thing he told Moses to do. Look out there and see who among you is ready to take care of Yahuwah's business? Then appoint them to take care of Yahuwah's business. So he said, he put the group together out of his eyes to able to take care of Yahuwah's business. And that's the same thing Hosea is doing right now. He's looking out and seeing who is ready to take care of Yahuwah's business, according to the scripture. 14:611. So all you got to do, if you don't know what to do today, look back at yesterday. This is what they did yesterday. So if it worked yesterday, then what you do today. Look out there and see who want to make a Bible decision on Yahuwah's word. And that's the one you work with. 1 Kings 6:11 says what?
Book of 1 Kings 6:11 reads. Book of 1 Kings 6:11. And the word of Yahuwah came to Solomon.
So the word of Yahuwah came to Solomon saying, that's big business of death. So now we know Yahuwah, he's talking to Solomon. What he says in the 8th chapter, verse 55 to 66. 1 Kings chapter 8, 55 down to verse 63. Skip down to verse 65 and 66. So now we see Yahuwah is speaking eyeball to eyeball with Solomon. We won't know what is he saying to Solomon that we can read. Let's see what he's saying. As a matter of fact, back up, Ellen, in that 6th chapter and read verse 13. Back up in that 1 Kings chapter 6 and read verse 13, Ellen.
The book of 1 Kings chapter 6. Verse number 13 reads, "I will dwell among the family of Israel, and will not forsake my people, Israel."
Ain't that something? You promise, you and I tell you who. If once I give you will, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, if you do right, I will live among the children of Israel, the Israelites, and will not forsake my people, Israel, the Israelites. You got to do right. Yes, do right, Solomon. And I'm telling you what I'm going to do by you doing right. I will be right there with my people, Israel, the Israelites. Yes, if you do right. That was in verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 8. 55 to 63, get down 65 to 66. What
is the hell? The book of 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 55 and 66 reads. Book of 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 55 reads, "He stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice saying," verse 56, "Let's be Yahuwah, and had given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised, that there had not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Verse number 57, Yahuwah be with us, as he was with our fathers, let him not leave us, nor forsake us. Verse number 58, that he may incline our mind unto him, that he may incline our mind unto him, to walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which he commanded our father. Verse 59, and let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before Yahuwah, be done to Yahuwah, our Yahuwah, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant, and the cause of his people, Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require. Verse 60, that all the people of the earth may know that Yahuwah is Yahuwah, and that there is none else. Verse 61, let your mind therefore be perfect with Yahuwah or Yahuwah, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments as at this day. Verse number 62, and the king and all Israel with him offer sacrifices before Yahuwah. verse 63, and Solomon offered a sacrifice, a peace offering, which he offered unto Yahweh, 220,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children, family of Israel, dedicated the temple of Yahweh. Verse number 65 reads, at the time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Mizraim, Egypt, before Yahweh 7 days, and 7 days, even 40 days. Verse 66, now the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went unto their tent, joyful and glad of mind for all the goodness that Yahweh had done for David his servant, and for Israel his people.
For Israel, his people. Israel, the Israelite, is his people. When you do right, Israel, the Israelite, Yahweh, he's not going to break his word. All you got to do is do right. Make a decision and let the Bible support the decision you're making. Then guess what? Yahweh's going to do what he got written in his Bible. That's all you got to do. Make a decision according with the Bible. See, First Chronicles 22. You know? See, First Chronicles 22. Take verse 10 down to verse 19. You see, it says First Chronicles 22, 10 down to verse 19. All you got to do is make a Bible decision. That's why you got to stay in the Bible. And don't get excited. I don't care how they crowd you as a people. Make sure you take a look at this Bible. What the Bible say I'm supposed to do? Because it can sound good. Remember, in the book, well, Micaiah the seer was told, hey, we all talking good. 400 of us are talking good. So you got to be like me. He said, no, I ain't being like you. Whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. See? That's the game changer right there. What do the Bible say? You want Yahweh to intervene? Make sure your decision that you can read your decision according to the Bible. Then you in bed. First Chronicles 22, 10 through 19, what's there?
Look at First Chronicles 22, verse number 10 through 19 reads. Look at First Chronicles chapter 22, verse number 10 reads. And he shall build a temple for my name. And he shall be my son. I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Verse number 11. Now my son, Yahweh be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the temple of Yahweh, as he hath said of thee. Verse number 12. Only Yahweh give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of Yahweh your Yahweh. Verse number 13. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which Yahweh charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Verse number 14. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the temple of Yahweh 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass, and of iron, without weight. For it is in abundance, timber also in stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Verse number 15. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers of the woods of stone, timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Verse 16. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass of the iron, there is no number. Arise therefore and be doing, and Yahweh be with thee. Verse number 17, David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, verse number 18, is not Yahweh your Yahweh with you? And have he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before Yahweh and before his people. Verse number 19, now set your mind and your spirit to seek Yahweh your Yahweh. Arise therefore, build the temple of Yahweh, to bring the ark of the
covenant of Yahuwah, a righteous vessel of Yahuwah, into the temple that is to be built to the name of Yahuwah.
Everything got to be about Yahuwah. Everything must be about Yahuwah. I'll read verse 12 and 17 again, verse 12 and 17.
The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 12, verse 17 reads, only Yahuwah give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of Yahuwah your Yahuwah. Verse number 17, David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying.
Yeah. So you see, this is how it worked then, and this is how it's going to work now. See, Yahuwah got a charge on Osir and the six anointed camp to come up with a place that has land, school, banquet hall, radio station. It's kind of business. So this guy, it got to be some Bible understanding this thing. This thing is about one thing. Reproducing what we can read. It's supposed to be a place where all the dignitaries all over the world can fly in and sit out at the feet of the six anointed camp. That's why the seer got a big responsibility. He got to recognize the spirits of old, they back today, and their positions of what they're supposed to be about. They're supposed to be about one thing come out of their mouth. How can we advance Yahuwah's business and bring Yahuwah into the picture? In the 28th chapter, verse 18 and 21, and Mother Dear of Israel, help me, Mother Dear of Israel, help me, First Chronicles 29, Mother Dear of Israel, 6 through 9, 14 through 20 and 29, wait a minute, Mother Dear of Israel, help me, First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6 through 9, 14 through 20 and 29. Had that waiting on me, Mother Dear of Israel. Now, in First Chronicles 28, verse 8 through 10 and 21, what do they say, yo?
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 28, 8 through 10.
And 21. And 21.
The book of First Chronicles, chapter 28. Verse number 5 through 10 and verse number 21 reads, Book of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 8 reads, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 8, Now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahuwah, and in the audience of our Yahuwah, keep and seek for all the commandments of Yahuwah your Yahuwah, that you may prosper this good, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your family after you forever. Verse number 9. Thou Solomon, my son, know thou, Yahuwah your father, and serve him with a perfect mind, with a willing mind, for Yahuwah searches all minds and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Verse 17, Take heed now, for Yahuwah hath chosen thee to build the temple of Yahuwah. Be strong and do it. Verse 21, And behold, the course of the priests, the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the temple of Yahuwah. And they shall be with thee for all manner of work, manship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also, the princes, and all the people will be holy at thy command.
Take that stuff. Read first night again, Elder. First night again.
Verse 21.
We'll make it 28, verse 9.
The book of Chronicles 28, verse number 9 reads, Thou Solomon, my son, know thou Yahuwah your father. Serve him with a perfect mind and with a willing mind. For Yahuwah searches all minds and understands all the imagination of the thought. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. If you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever.
Okay. You hear that man saying? If you do what the Bible tells you to do, and what I tell you to do, I'm with you. But if you deviate any way to the left or to the right, cast you off. So that's how y'all quadrant. This is a businessman right here. This is called a businessman here. Now, he said, now the Levites is going to be with you. But it's also the prophecy of in Genesis chapter 49, verse 8 through 10. It was a prophecy about something to come, a great while to come. Back up with 33, verse 7 of Deuteronomy. Then we'll slide right down to Hebrews chapter 7, 13 and 14. It was a prophecy made. We understood about the Levites. We understood that he said, Solomon, the Levites are going to be with you at your command. But it was also a prophecy made for a great while to come. And Genesis 49, 8 through 10, Deuteronomy 33, verse 7, then go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It was a prophecy mail. Let's inform the national audience on the prophecy that was told to Moses and Paul, rehearsed the writers of that come.
The book of Genesis chapter 49, verse 8 through 10 reads. Look at Genesis 49, verse 8. Yahweh Judah, your enemy of brethren shall pray. Your head shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Your father's family shall bow down before thee. Verse number 9. Judah is the lion's whelp from the prey, my son. For God, he stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, we shall rouse him up. Verse number 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a Torah stretching giver, lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Mm-hmm. Verse 3, verse 7.
Mm-hmm. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse number 7 reads, this is the blessing of Yahweh Judah, and he saying, hear Yahweh, the voice of Yahweh Judah, and bring him unto his people, that his hand be sufficient for him. Be thou help to him from his enemies.
Hebrews, chapter 7, 13 and 14. Oh.
The book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 reads, the book of the Israelites, chapter 7, book of Hebrews 7, verse 13. For whom these things are spoken, pertaining to another tribe, which no man attended at the altar. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Yahweh sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses say nothing concerning priesthood.
Mm-hmm. So what he's saying? Now Paul pulled these verses back that was on the table. But he clearly let you know now, Levi was going to be discontinued. So now, Judah takes over for Levi, because Levi done some things that made, that it was told, not that we might read that, Elder. See, Levi done some things, and they was dismissed. So the Levitical priesthood was dismissed. Judah was the one to take over from that point. And Judah was to be the one that Yahweh is going to tell Judah, when I come back and bust them clouds down in 12 verse 7 of Zechariah, we're not going to read, I'll be looking for you, Judah, to have everything in order, Judah. So now, what we said he's going to tell just a minute ago, it's going well.
He didn't say.
I didn't say. Okay, you got away from the name. So we found out that Judah will be the one that's in the power of Yahweh to come. Yes. Malachi. That's right. 2 verse 7. You can start with this. Malachi 2 verse 7. Because Levi was going to do something, and Malachi reported it in the book. He knew the Levites was going to do something by the time they get off on the right side of the book. the Levites will be they're gonna do some things that we need to read in 2:7. What do Levites do in 2:7, Al?
The book of Malachi 2:7 reads, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law in his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts."
So the Levite, the priest, they hold to seek the knowledge of the mouth of Yahweh. But let's read a little bit more about it and what happened. Because see, this is the reason Judah right now must be the one that holds out according to Scripture, because Levi is finished. And we're going to find out what happened with Levi as they will pick up verse 8. Keep reading a bit more. Keep reading about Levi. Verse 8. Come on.
The book of Malachi 2, verse number 8 reads, "But you already started out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You shall have corrupted the covenant of Levi, save Yahweh." Verse number 9. "Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law."
Verse 10. Verse 10, that's all I need, verse 10.
Verse number 10 reads, "Are we not all one father? And not one Yahweh created us. Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?"
You see that? So Levi is finished. And Levi would not be back in power to lead nobody nowhere until we go to, but we're not going to read it. You read for yourself in 66 chapter of the book of Isaiah. So the Levitical priesthood, the Levite priesthood is finished. The priesthood now on the table is Judah. Judah is the lead tribe, and Judah will be the one that holds down the word of Yahweh until Yahweh the Son comes. He's going to be actually Judah. Now look at WC King. Now I see you've been quiet, but can you show me that? Elder, give me 12:7 of Zechariah. Let me keep the WCC, the Royal Council of Churches, quiet. 12:7. You understand the rules of life. Zechariah 12:7.
The book of Zechariah 12:7 reads, "Yak also shall say the tent of Judah first. Family of David, and the honor of the inhabitants of Yahdah Judah, which I magnify myself against Yahdah Judah."
So you tell all the other 11 tribes, don't magnify yourself against Judah. The only way back to for Yahweh is you got to get up out of Judah. That's it. So anybody got anything got going on with the children of Israel in the tribe? If Judah is not leading it, it's not in court. So with all the ones Yahweh is coming back to see first, the camp of Judah. That's it. Judah got to lead. You lead the 11 tribes. So if you're anywhere in the tribe of Israel and Judah not leading, I don't care what tribe it is, Judah got to sit at the top of the head. He got to stand with the Bible stand, and that's the way it goes. Judah holds down until the return of Yahweh the Son. That's fine. Take it away, you want to take it. Now, if you got any problem with it, he makes it plain, Elder, in 41:21. He makes it plain, Elder, in Isaiah 41:20. If you got a problem with that, he makes it plain, so Isaiah 700 B.C. and 41:21. If you got a problem with you just heard, then he made it plain in 41:21 of Isaiah. What did he say, Elder?
Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21 reads, "Produce your cause, save Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reasons, save the King of Israel."
Is it? Go in the Bible and show me where Judah do not leave until the coming of Yahweh himself. Produce your cause. don't care how big your organization is. Show me what Judah do not lead with the Bible. Produce your call. Bring up your strong reason. But we got to read it now. Don't bump the gongs now. Don't say, well, I'm smart. No, 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 no. Go in the Bible and go and get all the information according to 34, verse 16 of Isaiah. I want all the information to be of 34, 16 of Isaiah. This is it. What is it, Heather? 34, 16.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 34, number 16 reads, the book of Isaiah 34, verse number 16, take you out of the book of Yahuwah and read, no one of these shall fail, nor shall want her mate, for the mouth, for my mouth it hath commanded, the spirit it hath gathered them.
Mm-hmm. So if you got anything to bring to the table, produce your call with the book open. That's all you got to do. Whatever it is, produce your call, bring forth your strong reasoning with the Bible. Tell me what verse to go to that we can read, and you producing your call. Don't get in the emotion and get the feeling. No, it don't work like that. Go in the Bible and show strongly that the Bible supports what you're saying. That's it. That's how you do it. And once you learn how to do it that way, you in business. That's how you take care of business. Now, Elder, have me Ezekiel 37, 1 down to verse 4 and 16 to 22. Have that waiting on me, Elder. But Monk, D of Israel. Now, what we say is in first part of verse 29, verse 6 down to verse 9, 14 down to verse 20 and 29. Mother D.F. Israel, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, 14 first Chronicles 29, 6 through 9, 14 through 20 and 29. And give that microphone and make the national audience proud to hear Mother deliver the knockout vote. Come on.
First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9. 14 to 20. 14 to 21.
And 29. And 29. And
29. And 29. All right. First Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribe of Israel and of hundreds with the rulers of the kings worked offered willingly, verse 7, and gave for the service of the temple of Yahuwah of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drums of and of silver 10,000 talents and a brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. Verse 8, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the temple of Yahuwah by the hand of Yahuwah the Gibeonite willingly, because with perfect mind they offered willingly to Yahuwah. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Verse 14. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee, the saints. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as we all our fathers our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. 16. O Yahuwah, all this sort that we have prepared to build thee and temple for thy righteous name, thine hand, and is all thine own. 17. I know also, my Yahuwah, that thou searchest the mind and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the righteousness of my mind, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy your people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee a thing. O Yahuwah Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our father, keep this forever in the image of the thought of the mind of your people, and prepare their mind unto you. 19. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect mind to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them, all these things, and to build the place for thee which I have made provision. Verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, now bless Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and all the congregation, bless Yahuwah, Yahuwah of their father, and bow down their ears, and worship Yahuwah, and the king. Verse 29. Now the acts of David, the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel, seer, and in the book of Nathan, the seer, and in the book of Gad, the seer.
Yeah. He says it's written exactly how the people respond when it's time for a project in Yahuwah. He says people's going to automatically get up willingly and make their move. He says it's written in all the books how they're going to respond when it's time to take care of Yahuwah's business. Now back up, mother, and tell me who takes the lead on all this, mother, in verse number 29, verse 6. Who takes the lead on all this good stuff? For the people to understand how to take care of Yahuwah's business, who will take the lead in 29, verse number 6?
29, verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and prince of the tribe of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds and the rulers of the king's work offered wittily.
That's how it works, mama. That's how it works. Leadership is the first one lead the way. They step out there and they do it willingly. And that's when the people see when the leadership of the six anointed camp understand that this is about Yahuwah's business, step up willingly. They have no choice but to step up willingly. Once you see leadership understand that this is the way it is. We in this time, and this is what we got to do. Let's back and get a precept on that, mother. 1 Chronicles 16:27-29. Back and get a precept. 1 Chronicles 16:27-29. So when the people see leadership, understand when it comes down to Yahuwah's business, you automatically step up willingly, and Judah got to be the only leader. Willingly step up to the plate. That's what they did. And they offered to do the work willingly. 1 Chronicles 16:27-29. What does it say, Moses?
1 Chronicles 16:27-29. verse 27. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. 28. Give unto Yahweh, you kindreds of the peoples. Give unto Yahweh glory and strength. 29. Give unto Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship Yahweh in the beauty of righteousness.
That's been talking about mother. When you hear them saying these things, they had been pulled somewhere. Now, where is all this ruling with a joyful mind? Where is they pulling it from? Is they pulling out from right there? No. Back up, mother. And see where all this is coming from in Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2. Where is all this willfully, double to the plate, take care of Yahweh's business, understand the leadership got to be the first one to take the lead, and the people will automatic follow. Once they see leadership is on the same page on Yahweh's business. That's why we can proudly tell you, land, school, banquet hall, radio station, it's around the corner. It's just around the corner. It's going to happen. Why? All you got to do is take care of Yahweh's business. Once you're in order, Yahweh's going to kick in. Exactly the way it's going to be. But he got to recognize you from the pages of the book. Now, where is all this worldly conversation coming from? Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. Let's talk about all this worldly conversation, mother. Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2.
Okay. You said Exodus 25.
Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2. Where is all this good worldly conversation coming from? All this willing to do all this stuff. Where all this coming from? Let's talk about
it. Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that give it willingly with his mind, you shall take my offering.
So that's where they're coming from. Now look at the Latter-day Saints. Precepts here. Well, why don't you precept? Give me Exodus 35, verse 1, 4, and 5. Well, we don't mind precepting the Bible. We have no problem with that. Well, you got to precept the Bible anyway. In about 7:40, you're going to be precepting the Bible. 35, mother, verse 1. Let's skip down to verse 4 and 5. Then tie it all in 36, 1 through 7.
Exodus 35.
35, verse 1. Let's skip down to verse 4 and 5. Because all these verses have been pulled, mother. And once you have made a statement, Moses and Aaron and all the elders have to go forward with the people. Let's see what's going on now in 35, verse 1, verse 4 and 5. Let's talk about it, Mother dear of Israel. Come on.
Exodus 35, verse 1 and verse 4 and 5. Verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which Yahweh has commanded that you should do them. Verse 4.
4 and 5.
And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commands, saying, verse 5, take you from among you an offering unto Yahweh, whosoever is of a willing mind, let him bring it an offering of Yahweh, gold and silver and brass.
Mm-hmm. And what happened in verse 21?
verse 21. And they came, everyone whose mind stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought Yahweh offerings to the work of the tabernacle and of the congregation, and for all his servants, and for the righteous garment.
And what else they do when they get all that, mother? What else they do in verse 20? Now, once they got all that, everything that needs to be done, what they do in verse 20?
In verse 20. Okay. Exodus 5:20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
Well, after that, then. Well, they know they don't take care of Yahweh's business, they're going back to business. They know they don't got any power. So once you know you don't got your power, you're going back to business. It ain't on you no more. Once you don't take care of Yahweh's business, then you go on about your business, because Yahweh is got it in the hands he wanted to have it in. And all you're supposed to do then is do your part and go on about your business. There's that there. Read verse 20 again. A little bit more audio, mother. Verse 20.
Exodus 35:20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses.
Yeah. They went about their business. They don't worry about how it come out. It ain't on them. Once they know they're doing what they're supposed to do, it ain't on them. That's it. That's how you roll. Now you're doing bow. Now it's up to leadership to perform what Yahweh got on the table. That's it. Now, here, before you read that Ezekiel 37, here, 1 through 4, and 16 on verse 22, I want to back up and see exactly what else happened in 2 Kings 12, 9 through 16. Hey, yo, y'all got Israel. I need to back up to 2 Kings, chapter 12, 9 through 16. So once you know you are took care of Yahweh's business, it's out of your hands. You have done Yahweh's will. You stepped up willingly. Took care of Yahweh's business, boom. You business with that. Talk about the business. Look, the leadership take care of that business. 2 Kings 12, 9 through 16. What's the hell?
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 12, verse number 9 through 16 reads. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 9 reads. And Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bore a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the temple of Yahweh. And the priest had kept the door with therein all the money that was brought into the temple of Yahweh. Verse number 10. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king strived, and the high priest came up, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the temple of Yahweh. Verse number 11, and they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the temple of Yahweh, and they laid it out of the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the temple of Yahweh. Verse number 12, and to masons and hewers of stone, of hewed stone, to repair the breaches of the temple of Yahweh, and for all that was laid out for the house, the temple to be repaired. Verse number 13. Howbeit there was not made for the temple of Yahweh bowls of bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessel of gold or vessels of silver, of the money that was brought into the temple of Yahweh. Verse 14. But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the temple of Yahweh. Verse 15. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money. Verse number 15. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Verse 16. The trespass money, sin money, was not brought into the temple of Yahweh. It was the priests.
What do you mean by sin money? What do you mean by the sin money? What that mean? The sin money was not brought in. It was for leadership. What do you mean by that sin money? What they talking about? You got to be up there. What are you talking about? In the book or the 22nd chapter, verse 28. See, understand one thing. When you get based in your voice, based upon leadership, you have sin. Anytime your base will take away your normal way of speaking, then you have sinned against leadership. Let's see what he's talking about. And 22 verse 28. Let's see him talk about it, Evan.
The book of 2 Kings.
We'll make it Exodus. 22 verse 28. Let's see when you get based in your voice based upon leadership, because decision is not the way you know it is to be. You get based in your voice. Let's see what he got written behind that in 22, verse 28. Let's talk about Elder that we can read.
Book of Exodus 22, verse 28 reads, I shall revile the Yahuwahs, the curse the rulers of your people.
Ain't that something? That means you might not understand something. And because you don't understand, it's because you gotta be taught to understand those. But the last thing you do is plow at the mouth or get based in your voice, because that's a thou shalt not do that against the rulers of thy people. So you gotta know how to put your hand on your mouth until you get proper understanding. But the last thing you do is run the mouth because of something you don't understand, and you run the mouth. Read that again, Hill. Let's see what the Bible say about that in 22, 28 again.
The book of Exodus, 22, verse 28 reads, I shall not revile the Yahuwah, curse the ruler of your people.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? So, you don't understand something. The last thing you do is revile or make a statement. Now look at the Roman Catholic Church age. See it. Is that written in the New Testament too? Precept that. All right. Let's see. Can we precept that? Hey, let's go to the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. Let's see a big dignitary get himself caught up. And we go on to the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. Let's see if we give a precept for the Roman Catholic Church, Big Kennedy Dolan Committee Board in New York. Let's see if we get a precept out of that. 23rd chapter. This good New Testament right here. Good New Testament. Yeah. 23rd chapter. Let's pick it up around about verse number 4. No, let's pick it up at verse number 3. No, let's pick it up at verse 1, because Paul, you know, he's a learned man, but he started doing some things that Exodus 22, 28 is talking about. Let's see what happens. Let's get in this story. Get into this story of mine, 1 and 2. Let's read 1, 2, and 3. Let's read 1, 2, and 3. Let's see what it says in the book of Acts 23, 1, 2, and 3. What is it saying, 1, 2, and 3?
Book of Acts chapter 23, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads, Acts 23, verse 1. Paul earnestly beholded the council, said, men and brethren, have lived in all good countries before Yahuwah until this day. Verse number 2. The high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Verse number 3. Then said Paul to them, Yahuwah shall smite thee, you whited wall. But sitteth thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law.
Read verse 2 again, Ale. Put down verse 2.
The book of Acts 23, verse 2.
And high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, mother, go and hit that fellow in the mouth. When we hit Paul in the mouth, why? Hold that point. Come back in a minute. Why they do that? Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3:1-7. Let's find out why was he hit in the mouth? Why was he hit in the mouth? Let's give me a precept that Ecclesiastes 3:1-7.
Book of Ecclesiastics, chapter 3, verse number 1 through 7.
Mm-hmm. 3, 1 through 7. Let's find out why was Paul hit in the mouth.
The book of Ecclesiastics 3, 1 through 7 reads, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse number 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse number 3. Time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Verse number 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse number 5. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6. Time to give and a time to loose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. Verse 7, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep fighting, and a time to speak.
Thank you, sir. There's a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. Everything is a time. Now, precept that to Jeremiah 1:4-10. It's always a time. Now it's a time to keep silent, be quiet. Remember when you read earlier in the beginning lesson, you go and pull up, won't you, a empty wagon or barrel makes the most noise. A empty wagon or barrel makes the most noise. See, it's a time for everything. But an empty wagon or a barrel will make the most noise. You catch a wagon coming in with horses on it, it ain't got none in the back of that wagon, that thing be jumping all over the place, and you hear that thing coming, waking people out of their sleep. Because it don't have nothing in it. An empty wagon makes the most noise, like a barrel. You roll a barrel down and you ain't got nothing in the barrel, that thing makes much doggone noise. You be trying to put a stick on that thing. Stick that thing up all that noise. Yeah. Now, what's the reason, Leo? Yeah. Begin a case in point. It's a time for heaven. So when you read Jeremiah 1:4-10, Leo, what is that?
Book of Jeremiah 1:4-5, verse 8-10 reads. Book of Jeremiah 1:4 reads. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a seer unto the nation. Verse number 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, save Yahweh. Verse number 9, then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse number 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdom, to root out, to pour down, and to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant.
You see that? So a lot of things have to be thrown down to plant over. So we in bad shape when we don't make a Bible decision. So the seer's job is throw that stuff down and show you plainly, this is the way to go on what's written in the Bible. Going to get where you got to get to, you got to be in order. What kind of order? Bible. Bible order. And once you understand that, then now Paul was let the big dignitaries know about his mannerism. And Paul got hit in the mouth. He said he was going to hit Paul in the mouth. But when Paul got hit in the mouth, it dawned on Paul. It dawned on Paul. He got hit in the mouth. But then, by him getting hit in the mouth and feeling the blood up out of his lip, then it dawned on him, verse 4 and 5. Hey, back to the 23rd chapter, after Paul got hit in the mouth, then it dawned on Paul about something in verse 4 and 5. What about it,
The book of Acts, chapter 23, verse number 4 and verse number 5 reads, Acts 23, verse number 4. And then the stood by said, revile thou Yahweh's high priest. Verse number 5. Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, he was a high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people.
So it dawned on him after he got hit in the mouth that I don't supposed to speak evil about leadership. But he had to get hit in the mouth first. And once he got hit in the mouth, then dumb him, oh, I see why I got hit in the mouth. Because I was speaking out of turn. There's a place for everything. But by me speaking out of place, I got hit in the mouth. I let my emotions get in, so it come out where I'm going and where I've been. So the high priest ordered for Paul to get hit in the mouth. But then by him feeling that blood coming out on the side of his lips, it dawned on him, I didn't supposed to open my mouth in that sense. Because I got a first part of a scripture to support what I'm saying. But if I don't have a scripture to support what I'm saying, I'm supposed to hold my peace. See? But Paul didn't do it. He didn't hold his peace. And he got hit in the mouth. But it then dawned on him, I'm supposed to run my mouth. Get no precept on that, Elder. In the book of Timothy, Elder. In the book of Timothy, I need to get another precept on that. What it says in 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. I need to get another precept on that. Get a precept on that. I beat you to the point there, Latter-day Saints. I'm going to give you a precept on that. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. What does it say in 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, Elder?
Book of 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Verse 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity.
Get down to verse 19 and 20 to get our point, Elder.
Verse number 19. The book of 1 Timothy 5, verse 19. Against the elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Verse 20. Then that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
So what are you saying? You might get a phone call and you want to do some backbiting, murmuring, and complaining. People say, oh man, no, I can't receive that. I gotta pay a sin offering by listening to anything that's said about leadership. And do you got two or three witnesses with that? No. But then I got to hang the phone up on you because I don't hold to receive that kind of call. Now, I got to say in scriptures of Yahweh, do I got to transgress over my head? Read that again, verse 19 and 20.
We're going to 1 Timothy 5, verse number 19, verse 20 reads. Book of 1 Timothy 5, verse 19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Verse 20. Then the sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
Mm-hmm. So you don't do it that kind of way. And if you try to get, you know, the amen group with you, the amen group got to say, hey, ho, I can't receive that. If I receive that, I'm in trouble. I can't receive that. You can't talk against leadership, period. Maybe you don't understand something. You need to find out, unless you got some scripture we can read, then we can, you know, but for a while just running the mouth with no Bible, I can't even see that. Click. Now, you know, give me that verse over there in Ezekiel 37, because Yahweh, he had Ezekiel to come on the scene. He brought Ezekiel to a place to bring him to the scene, and he told him something in the 37th chapter 1 down to verse 4, then skip down to 16 verse 1 and 2. Let's see what's going on. We can read in 37 chapter verse 1 through 4, 16 down to verse 22. What is that to hell?
The book of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 4, 16 to 22 reads. Book of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1 reads. The hand of Yahweh was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh, and set me down in the midst of a valley, which was full of bones. Verse number 2. He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, though they were very dry. Verse number 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? O Yahweh, thou knowest. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Verse number 16. Over thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it, for Judah, for the family of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick, and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the family of Israel, his companion. Verse 17. Join them one to another, into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Verse number 18, when the family of Israel, thy people, shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Verse number 19, say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribe of Israel, his fellow, will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. Verse number 20, and the stick whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. Verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will take the children, the family of Israel, from among the nations, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. Verse 22. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king to them all. There shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all.
Mm-hmm. So the seer got a great responsibility that he had to gather the children of Israel, northern and southern kingdom, together to be one in his hand, for Yahweh received it in his hand. So the seer got a international understanding what he must do. He look at a broad picture, not the little hash and mash. His job is to bring southern and northern kingdom together as one. Now, and then what will happen when this happens is written in Jeremiah 31, 1 down verse number 9. Let's see what can we get a precept on that, Elder? So you have a responsibility because you got to look out there looking into the section on the camp, but we know those are going to be coming all over the world. Sit down at the section on the camp. See, you got to be prepared to show with the Bible. You know, let them win the bump the gun contest and they come up with now. Show them exactly how this thing is going to work. If you want Yahweh to intervene, Or you produce your call to show that it don't mean what it means. Let's even say in 31st chapter 1, down verse 8. Now look, now Jeremiah the seer is on the clock in Jeremiah 31, 1 through 8. What is that to help?
The book of Jeremiah 31, verse number 1 through 8 reads, Jeremiah 31, verse 1. At the same time, saith Yahweh, I be Yahweh of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Verse number 2. Now saith Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword, found favor, grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. Verse number 3. Yahweh have appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, have loved thee with an everlasting love, and for with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Verse number 4. And I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Verse number 5. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. Verse number 6. But there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the mount of Ephraim shall cry, arise you, and let us go up to Yahdah Judah, unto Yahweh, Yahweh. Verse number 7. For thus saith Yahweh, sing with gladness for Israel, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish you, praise you, and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Verse number 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of Europe, and with them the body, the woman with the traveler together, a company shall return.
On 12 through 16 and 27. Let's see what's going on here. 12 through 16, 26 and 27. What is that?
The book of Jeremiah 31, verse 12. Jeremiah 31, verse 12 reads, therefore they shall come and sing in the heights of Yahdah Judah, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yahweh for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watering garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. I return their mourning into joy. Well, return their mourning.
Oh, you still on the thing?
Well, I will turn their joy unto mourning, and will cover them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Verse 14. Now saturate the soul of the priest with fatness. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yahweh. Verse number 15. Thus saith Yahweh, a voice was heard in Ramah, Ramatation. Bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Verse 16. Saith Yahweh, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Verse number 26 reads, Jeremiah 31, verse 26. Upon this I will awake, and behold, in my sleep was sweet unto me. 27. Behold, the day comes, saith Yahweh, that I will sow the temple, the family of Israel, and the family of Judah, with the seed of man and with the seed of beasts.
Let's give one more in and close and say, let's get to the Second Chronicles 31, verse 5 through 6, 8 through 14 and 21. Let's do it tall and grand style as the days of old. Second Chronicles 31, verse 5, 6, 21, and the closing statement. Do it tall and grand style. That makes me feel very happy. Second Chronicles 21, 5 through 6, 14 and 21.
Second Chronicles chapter 21, 5 through 6, 18 through 21.
Second Chronicles 31, 3, 1. 3, 1, 5 through 6, 8 through 14 and 21. Close the same. Do it tall and grand style. See more than half.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse number 5 through 6, verse 18 through 21 reads. Book of 2 Chronicles,
eight,
chapter 31.
8 through 14. 14. 8 through 14 and 21.
8 through 14.
Uh-huh.
And 21. All right. The book of the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse number 5 through 6, verse number 8 through 14, and verse 21. Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, verse number 5 reads, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruit of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things, brought they in abundance. Verse number 6. And concerning the family of Israel and Judah, that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of the oxen and sheep, and the tithe of the righteous things which were consecrated unto Yahweh, their Yahweh, laid them by heat. Verse number 8. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heat, they blessed Yahweh and his people Israel. Verse number 9. And Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heat. Verse 10. And Azariah, the chief priest of the temple of the family of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offering into the temple of Yahweh, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for Yahweh has blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Verse number 11. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the temple of Yahweh, and they prepared them. Verse 12, and brought in their offering, the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Kenaniah, the Levite, was ruler. Shemaiah, his brother, was next. Verse 13, Jehiel and Azariah and Nahat, Eshael and Jeremiah, Jozabad and Eliel and Kaiah. And Mahatha, and Ananias, overseers under the hand of Kaniah, and Shemaiah, his brother, at the command of Hezekiah the king, and Azariah the ruler of the temple of Yahweh. 14. Called the son of Ishmael, the Levite, of the east, over the freewill offerings of Yahweh, to distribute the obligations of Yahweh and the most righteous things. Verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the temple of Yahweh, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his Yahweh, he did it with all his mind and prospered.
If read verse 20 out in the closing statement, verse 20 in the closing statement, that's the first 20.
Book of 2 Chronicles 31. Verse number 20 reads, 2 Chronicles 31, verse number 20 reads, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and true before Yahweh, his Yahweh.
Ain't that nice? That's what you're going to do. You're going to make sure Yahweh sees what you're supposed to be doing. If Yahweh sees it, that's all that counts. Elder Yahdai Israel, ain't no your part. You're tall and grand tall. That day is of old. Cold and statement. You're on the clock. Come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. To the 12 tribes that scattered to the four corners of the globe, Yahweh be with you and Yahweh bless you. Hallelujah, qua.
Hey. All right. That was I.O., lead teacher out of Camp 1. Now, Mother D of Israel, let's take a look at, as we start winding this down, Mother. Let's look at the Romans chapter 15, Mother D of Israel. What do we say in Romans 15 25, verse 27, Mother D.F. Israel. Romans chapter 15, verse 25 to 27. What
does it say,
Mother?
Romans chapter 15.
Romans 15, 25 on the verse 27. What does it say, that Mother D.F. Israel C. Rush?
Romans chapter 15, verse 27. Romans 15, verse
25 down to verse 27. Take my verse 25, take it out of verse 27. What do you say, Mother?
Romans 15, verse 25 to 27. Verse 25. But now I go unto Judas to minister unto the saints. 26. For he has pleased them of Macedonia, for to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Judah. 27. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things.
Mm-hmm. So he says he went to the northern kingdom of them, and he found the children of Israel that's up on the banner of Gentiles. And he brought them the word of Yahweh and said, listen, I'm over here to teach you the word of Yahweh. Once I teach you this word of Yahweh, you will be our northern kingdom. He said, now, by me giving you this word, you got duties also. And your duty is to minister up in worldly things. So worldly things you both be doing once you hear the word of Yahweh. Even the big dignitaries on the broadcast, you got to do something worldly to the minister, you know? So Paul made it plain, Mother, in the 16th chapter, that once I get through teaching y'all this information in the 16th chapter, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, let's see what Paul said in 16, 1, 2, and 3. He said, Northern Kim, you're debtors, you are. You'll receive the word of Yahweh, and you are in debt. Let's see what you got written in 16, 1, 2, and 3, Mother. 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, verse 1. Now concerning the collections for the saints, so I have given orders to the congregation of the Galatians. Even so do you, verse 2, unto the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as Yahweh has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come, verse 3. And when I come, so ever you shall approve by your letter, then will I send to bring your liberties unto Judah.
Mm-hmm. See that? So, Paul, look here. Now, once I get to teaching you Northern Kingdom and those in Europe, he said, you're debtors, you are. And so don't be fumbling around once the sun sets. Go in your pocket, put the money in the bag, so I can get the money to the poor saints. This is children of Israel, 148, verse 14, or Psalm 50, verse 5 through 7, talking to children of Israel. That's the saints, not the Latter-day Saints out of Utah. And talking about them. Talking about the saints of Israel. That's who the true saints is on the Bible. So he said, don't be thumbing around. Have the money already in the bag. And then if you got somebody that can help me post some of that money, we're taking that money to the poor saint that's in Yahdah, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. And to make sure these poor saints is Judah Lee's mother, and 1434, get a precept in Isaiah that these poor saints is Judah he's talking about. So Isaiah 1434. So once we have taught you the word, you don't heard the word on the broadcast. You heard the word. But now it's time for you to get in your purse and your pocketbook and your wallet and make a contribution to this ministry for what we got to do. I'm going to read the article first. I'm going to read something that's showing you that is required of you. Now, Josephus made a profound statement in his book called Josephus, the Book of Antiquity, Book 14, Chapter 7, page 110. Let's see what he said on page 110. And let no one wonder that there was so much wealth and money in our temple, since all of Judah throughout the inhabitants of the earth and those that worship Yahweh, yea, even those of Asia and Europe, sent their contribution to Judah. And it was this from very ancient times. He said, the reason why we got so much money and gold and everything in the temple, because those that hear the word understood that they have to contribute to the ministry. And that's the reason why when the temple was thrown down, burned up and all that, the Romans taking the gold, because all that wealth was in there, melted into the stone. And so like Yahweh the Son won't be a stone or another, won't be thrown down, because they had gold all into it. So they took all that gold and took it to the Vatican City, and that gold is right there in the Vatican City now. You saw the gold they got in the Vatican City, and hid off all off in the basement. Got stones of gold all over the place. You know why? Because they took it from the children of Israel, the Israelites. When they burnt down the temple, all the gold they had in the temple melted into the bricks. And when the Romans seen all that gold was melted into them bricks, and shoot, I'm taking this back with me. And those that were in charge brought all that stuff to the Vatican City. That's why you see the Vatican City today with all that gold and silver, but it belongs to the children of Israel, the Israelites. And that's why Yahweh said he won't be left a stone on another that won't be thrown down, because they started stealing it. They stole the gold. And they got it in the Vatican City as we see today. So he said, but they always made a contribution or donation to the ministry. So they, see, now you got your PayPal to do it now. Go to your PayPal and make a contribution or donation to the PayPal. But they had no PayPal back in these days. So they had to send people from all the way from Europe and Asia on donkeys and everything and brought their offerings into the ministry that was scattered Israelites that was in Asia and in Europe. It was Israelites all over there. But they knew that this was from very ancient times. They always know to send a donation or contribution to the ministry, keep the ministry to the best of their ability. They knew to do that. And they have a willing mind to do so. Today, we grudge when we pay our little 10%. We grudge, period. We come up with every excuse until just putting the money down and going about your business and let Yahweh's business be done. They did it back in the day. So now, Mother, what would you read, Mother? What did you get? You got to read, Mother?
Go to Isaiah chapter 14.
34. What do you think they both say, Mother? We better wind it down, Mother. We better wind it down, but we got our point across on tape 15. that if you're going to do Yahuwah's business, you do it with a willing mind, shelter in place, because the big job ahead of us, land, school, banquet hall, radio station, get in where you fit in at, wherever your lot is, you feel you good at, do that. It's all about advancing the ministry to get you a Matthew 25:21. When Yahuwah returns, you want what Yahuwah said to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hey, that's all you want out of this. That's all I want out of this. I want none of this idea. Just to be in place to let Yahuwah know, and he do know, I'm going to give it all I got on the court of what's written in his Bible on how I get his children of Israel, the Israelites, out of this deep sleep they're in, where they're all about themselves, not about Yahuwah's business. And to give what he tell you to give. Give what the Bible tell you to give. That's it. What's your name, Mother? 34:14.
Isaiah chapter 14, verse 32. What shall one being answer the messenger of the nation that Yahuwah has found Judah and the poor of his people?
So when you're donating to Judah first. Let's go to the book of Sirach, Mother. We get a couple more in. You understand something that we gotta understand. See, we gotta understand this Bible. See, a wise seer will show you what the Bible's saying. We're going to 2:1 down to verse 7, Mother. We're going to the book of Torah 2:1-7. See, a wise seer will instruct his people to let you know if you want Yahuwah to kick in, then you got to kick in first. You can't let the world, you can't let old Bill always, well, you know, Bill got me now. No, okay, but Bill will kick you now until you turn back to Yahuwah the way he got written in his Bible. So Sirach, Mother, chapter 2, Mother. Can you help the national audience out 2:1-7? What it says, Sirach chapter 2, 1:7. Well, hold on a minute, Mother. Chapter 2, 1:9-7. Well, hold on a minute, Mother. I think I'm all over the place here now. Hold on a second. Here we go. I'll make it 12:1-7, Mother. Thank you there, Mother Israel. See, do you mean 12? Okay, yeah, I mean 12. 12:1-7, Mother. Make that 12:1-7. What is it we can read in Book of Sirach? Out of that little red book. They always got the little red book when that Protestant church taken out in 1800. They taking these 14 books away from them. What was written? And 12:1-7. What was written, Mother?
Sirach chapter 12:1-7. When thou wilt do good, know to whom thou does it. So shall you be thanked for your benefit. Verse 2. Do good to fallen men, and thou shalt find a recompense, and if not from him, yet from the Most High. Verse 3. There can no good come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. Verse 4. Give to the Yahuwah man and help not a sinner. Verse 5, do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the unyakwise. Hold back your bread, and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster you thereby. Or else thou shalt receive twice as much evil for all the good thou shalt have done unto him. Verse 6. For the Most High hates sinners and will repay vengeance unto Yahweh and keepeth them against the mighty days of their punishment. Verse 7. Give unto the good and help not the sinner.
Mm-hmm. We all get a precept on that, Mother. 35:1-11 and 16, same book. So look what this man tells you. Now, if you're in the ministry, you